Amen. Good evening, everybody. It is awesome to be together tonight. Definitely encouraging to hear about the different things going on. And I keep the chat closed when I'm speaking so that I'm not super distracted by you all, but definitely hope there's some other good news firing off in there. So that's exciting. And I'm looking forward to doing this lesson tonight and then getting to have a little bit of time for you guys to respond to it, what you got from it. And so you could be thinking about that during the lesson, always thinking about what is God saying for you tonight, but then also getting that opportunity for us to connect by hearing from each other. And so, you know, as you already know, the topic for the midweek tonight is daily relationships. And you know, just for a second here, I want you to think about those disciples in your life that you're the closest to, those people that are that you do life with, they know you well, they help you, they're your closest friends, your support system, they encourage you, they build you up. And just think about how much those relationships mean to you and appreciate that. And imagine your life without those relationships. Imagine trying to be a Christian without those relationships. Imagine heaven without those relationships. I mean, what a blessing and something so important to our lives. And then also consider the fact that those relationships didn't always exist. At one point, you had to meet and get close to that person. And maybe for some of you, you always knew that person, but maybe you weren't always super close, or it wasn't always a spiritual relationship. You both had to become disciples and then add that element to your life. And so I hope that all of us can look at our lives and appreciate that, wow, there's people that are these daily, regular in my life relationships that I just couldn't live and couldn't imagine my life without. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is those relationships and how to keep building those relationships and why they're so important. And so I hope this will be helpful for you tonight. The first thing I want to emphasize is that first and foremost, we need a daily relationship with God, right? God is our King. Jesus is our best friend. He is our Savior. He's our provider, our protector, right? Our first and foremost daily relationship must always be with God. That we're living a life every day, walking with Jesus, trying to be like him, that we're trying to live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, and also being connected with God, conversing with God, learning from God by digging into his word, sitting at his feet, and also going to God in prayer. You know, our relationship with God, obviously, this should be obvious, but if you look at your life, if you look at your relationships, if you look at your day, God should be our primary daily relationship, not somebody that we connect with once or a few times a week, but somebody who we do life with all day, every day, because that's the purpose of our life, is our relationship with God. And it's also what all of our other daily disciple relationships are all about. Right? So that's the foundation, the core, the reason for all the other daily relationships. And so, you know, our discipleship can't become about people. People are very important and people play a very big role in our discipleship, but ultimately it's always all about our daily relationship with God as our first and primary relationship. And so I just thought it was important to start with that. Just to lay that foundation that all of these other daily people relationships, the focus, the goal, the bedrock of them is us all being in a daily relationship with God. Amen? Amen. So something that should just be foundational to you by looking at Jesus's life and looking at the Bible is that you cannot follow Jesus without doing so alongside the other people following him as well, right? God's plan was never for independent, isolated Christianity. If you wanted to follow Jesus, you had to do it with the other people who also wanted to follow him, right? And that's still the way it is today. There's one body, one church, one spirit. And so we must follow Jesus together or we don't follow him at all. It was God's design that we have relationships. We need relationships to be like Jesus and to make it to heaven. You know, next week we'll have a great lesson on discipling relationships, you know, which are a special kind of daily relationship that's more structured, more focused on training and mentoring. But tonight we're more so just talking about the everyday disciple relationships that we should all have a pretty good multitude of that we're living with and that we're building. And as always, Jesus is our model. We follow his example. Did Jesus have daily relationships? Absolutely. You know, Jesus had daily connection and companionship. He didn't do life by himself. He didn't serve God by himself. He had companionship. He had connection with other people following him every day. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 14, you see Jesus initiate this. It says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. Sorry, my throat super dry. That they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. And so you see Jesus initiate a plethora, not one, not two, 12 close daily relationships. Jesus spent the next 3 years every day with these guys. And then by the end of his time with them in John 15, 15, he says, I have called you friends, right? They weren't just servants. They weren't just followers. They were friends, companions. And then in Mark chapter 15, verse 40 and 41, it says, and this is, you know, right after Jesus is crucified as he's hanging on the cross. It says, some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. You know, all these passages should show you that Jesus had a multitude of daily relationships that were centered around following him, right? And that's what our life should have as well, as a multitude of daily relationships that are centered around following Jesus together. Something else I want to point out and why I included the Mark 15 passage is because both men and women follow Jesus and have daily relationships with each other and with him, right? Jesus inevitably had to have good relationships with both these men and these women and them with each other. You know, when I think about Jesus's teachings, consider how many of them are about disciples' relationships with each other, right? Jesus teaches so much about loving one another, unity, forgiving, working together. These are some of his main teachings. So obviously, his followers' relationships with each other was high on Jesus's priority list. You know, Jesus did daily life together with others who were following him. And something I want to point out here, the word daily, I do think in some ways is the standard that we should have daily relationships. But I also don't want to get legalistic about it. The heart that I want you to capture tonight is that this is not legalistic, but a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of daily relationships. And so do you literally have to talk to somebody every day? You probably should. You should be connected every day, but it's more the general idea of, man, I just do life every day with, as a team, with companions of other people following Jesus. And so hopefully you see clearly here Jesus' example of daily relationships. And that should lead you to ask, well, what did Jesus have? And do I have that in my life? Right? Do I just have one or two close friends in the church? Do I just have two or three kind of surfacey friends? Or look at Jesus. He had 12 guys very close. He had at least three women very close to him. And then it said many others. And we know there was more than just the 12 that were with Jesus all the time. I mean, Jesus really did life daily with a lot of other people that were following him, and we should as well. My main verse for tonight is Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 25. The first half of this is emphasizing how amazing it is that we get to go to heaven by God's grace through Jesus. And then it connects that with how important it is to have other disciples in our life and to be in other people's lives to get to heaven, to be there one day. Let's read this here. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. There's a cool baptism reference right there. Verse 23. Okay, because we have this incredible hope in heaven through Jesus, through his blood, what should we do? Verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful. Man, let's make sure we get there. Don't give up on this. Don't turn aside. Don't turn away. Let's hold unswervingly to the hope of heaven ahead of us, right? But what's going to help us do that? What's going to help us hold unswervingly? Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Whenever the Bible talks about the day, or capital D day, it's talking about judgment day. It's talking about Jesus's reappearing. It's talking about when we will be ushered into eternity. And obviously that day is closer now than when this was written nearly 2000 years ago. But something you need to see here is that daily relationships are a major part of God's plan for getting us all to heaven. You know, and when we think about getting to heaven and what it's going to take to get there, right, there's these big significant moments, right? When we really repented, that's a big moment that we know, oh, that's going to help me get to heaven. When we came to faith, when we were baptized, right? That moment we were shared with when we, you know, were first met on campus or wherever, a big conference where we had a breakthrough, right? There's these big moments, but then there's these smaller daily contributions that become big things over a lifetime that end up being what gets us to heaven just as much. It's the daily quiet time that might not be life-changing, but it was your conviction to sit down and read the Bible and pray every day, right? It's the midweek that you showed up to that, you know, maybe you got something great out of it. Maybe you forgot it after a week, but it's the habit of doing it week after week that built your faith, that helped get you to heaven. And I think another thing is just those daily relationships, being in and doing life with people. And so based on this passage, I've got kind of three quick points I want to do with us here tonight about how to build and how to have these kinds of daily relationships. Hope you guys are with me. And my three points are that we need to have daily care, daily consider, and daily contact. And all of that is from this passage and a couple others I'll read. But to have great daily relationships, you've got to have daily care, daily consideration, and daily contact. You know, first, let's talk about daily care a little bit. You know, this passage in Hebrews that I read brings together the individual's journey to heaven and makes it into a community effort, something that we're doing together, not by ourselves. I kind of said this before, but we need to know this, that no one gets to heaven alone. No one makes it there by themselves, right? I must hold unswervingly, and I do so by looking to care for those around me headed there as well. A passage that's always convicted me is 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 to 29. Paul talks about all of the hardship and different things that he went through building the church and serving God. And this is kind of the icing on the cake for him after talking about the persecution, the beatings, hunger, all these different things. He says, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Right? What an incredible heart here from Paul. And you know, you see this heart in the beginning of most of his letters when he's writing to the different churches and different disciples. And he says things like, I always pray for you. I have you in my heart. I remember you with joy. I remember you with tears. I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. You know, there's obviously a deep care that Paul had for the other disciples. And we see him say here, I face daily the pressure of my concern, right? And that's this idea of weight, this weight of, it's this compelling force of care, right? Because you care, he has concern for people in the church, concern for all the churches. And I do want to point out here that it's a big picture thing here, is concern for all the churches, big picture, and then it gets personal. Who is weak? And I don't feel weak, right? And I think that the way that we imitate that is by not just caring about your little inner circle of two or three people and how they're doing, but really caring about how are all of my other brothers and sisters doing, right? And not just knowing, well, I know how my two close friends are doing. Well, who else? How are the other brothers and sisters in the ministry doing? And you know, and having a concern for everybody. And obviously we can't literally be in every person's life, but as much as we can, let's care about everybody and have that kind of concern. You know, this idea of daily relationships, it can't be viewed as some task list item, right? Like, okay, check, I had a daily relationship. It has to come from the heart, right? Where you have daily care in your daily relationships. You care about your brothers and sisters in Christ, right? That those that you'll see and those that you won't see, how are they? Who is weak, right? And really caring about that. Who's in sin and really being passionate about helping them with that, right? We've got to have daily care in our relationships. And just some practicals to help you do that. The first one is to pray for other people, right? To pray every day by name for other people in our ministry. Praying for people really puts them on your heart. It makes you care about them more. You know, maybe start a note in your phone and every Friday or every Sunday, pick one different person and ask them, hey, what can I pray for you about this week? And pray for them every day that week about that thing. And then the next week, pick somebody else. You know, praying for people like that, it could really deepen your daily care for other people. You know, another idea is to reach out to people you don't normally talk to, right? Slowly building new relationships, right? Do you talk to the same few people week after week, Sunday to Sunday, Friday to Friday? Or are you slowly reaching out and building new relationships over the next 3 months? Will there be somebody new that you're close to, or will it be the same? Are you on trajectory for it to be the same people that it's always been? You know, with the prayer point, I did want to ask too, do you pray for other people every day? Right? Think about your prayer every day. Is it just for yourself and the same, maybe your family, or do you pray for other people in this ministry every day? You know, the other thing too is, you know, with our GroupMe, do you pray for what people request in the GroupMe? It's a great way to care about people, is when they put a request on the GroupMe, to not have your notifications off or never look at the GroupMe, but see that as a great place to care and have daily relationships. So pray, reach out to new people. Another thing is take interest, right? Genuinely try to care, like take interest in other people's lives. View other people as brothers and sisters the way that God does. Right? Really trying to get to know other people better and taking interest in getting to know them better, not just the people that you naturally click with, but people you don't know well or don't connect with as easily, like deciding, man, I'm going to set my mind, I want to get to know this person. I'm gonna take interest in them. And the last thing to help you have daily care is just to take time once in a while to stop and appreciate the people in your life and the relationships that you have, right? To not take it for granted, but realize, wow, how blessed am I that I have these people in my life? And we are very, very blessed to have the relationships that we have. And we need to stop and appreciate that. And so first point here on having daily relationships that God wants us to have is first having daily care for each other and for other people in our ministry and in the church, and not just stay in our own world or our own bubble, but to care about all of each other. Secondly, is to daily consider, right? Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, right? And encouragement doesn't start with the C, so I didn't use it, but you know, I capitalized the C there. Daily consider. Well, consider what? Daily consider how you could encourage other people, right? That's what we should be considering. Considering how you could spur others on towards love and good deeds. Hebrews 3 verse 12 to 14 says, see to it, meaning take responsibility for this, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, which every day is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end, right? This idea of sharing in Christ, we're not doing this by ourselves. And, you know, this passage talks about how we need to encourage one another daily so that we won't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, we need to realize isolation is the devil's playground. When you are isolated, when you're independent, that's where he works best. When we are disconnected, the Bible says that our hearts can be easily deceived by sin and then hardened. And that's when we end up somewhere we never thought we would be, instead of holding to the end the convictions that we had at first. You know, you should feel this way about it too, but for me, self-deception is one of the scariest things. The idea of being self-deceived. Isn't that scary? To think you're in a place that you're not in. You know, self-deception is scary. And the Bible here says that sin can deceive us if we don't have daily encouragement in our lives, right? And that's how important daily relationships are. Is without it, we will end up deceived and hard-hearted because of our sin, right? It's a lot easier to believe Satan's lies when we don't have other disciples encouraging us. And that's why this is so important, right? To be focused on being giving and encouraging to other people, because if we're not, then it's a lot easier for Satan to lie to them and to deceive them. Now, what are some of the lies that Satan tells when people aren't getting the encouragement that they need? You know, I think, you know, some of the lies Satan tells is, well, you don't need them. Right? They're not needed. Maybe Satan tells you you're not important. You know, the ministry would be fine or maybe even better without you. You know, some of the lies that Satan might tell with that encouragement is you'd be happier if you weren't a Christian. Life would be better. Life would be easier if you gave up or if you went back to the world. You know, other things can come in that aren't helpful too. Like if you're not getting the encouragement that you need, then suddenly the attention, the positive attention from that guy or that girl at school becomes a whole lot more attractive and appealing, and you're a whole lot more drawn to it because your needs aren't being met by other disciples. And that's why making sure we're encouraging others is so important. And let me just say this too, that the Bible doesn't tell disciples, make sure you're getting encouraged. The Bible tells disciples, make sure you are encouraging. And so instead of responding to this, well, people aren't encouraging me, if we all just respond, oh, let me make sure I'm encouraging others, then all of our needs will be met. We've got to take responsibility, see to it, brothers and sisters, so that we won't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And these relationships are proactive and they help us to not end up in a place that we don't want to be. You know, and I do think a really important thing with this point is that it's not just about having daily relationships. It's about these relationships being spiritual, right? Being spiritually enriching and having an encouraging nature to them. It's not just, oh yeah, I talk to disciples every day, right? But how spiritually enriching or how spiritually focused are your closest friendships? Do they help you or hurt you more spiritually, or are they just neutral, right? Your daily relationships should be ones that help you be a better Christian, help you be more like Jesus. There, our daily relationships should be ones that help us spur each other on towards love and good deeds. And so one of the mindsets that we should have with these relationships is that I'm going to be giving. I'm going to encourage. That means like to impart. I'm going to build up. I'm going to pass on, right? So I think that's such a great area of reflection for our relationships. And consider how you talk to the people in your life. Are you encouraging with your words, the way that you talk, the things that you say? Are you encouraging? You know, I think sometimes in our friendships, we can accept a certain degree of worldly banter and laugh it off as, I was just kidding, we're good, right? But sometimes there can actually be some hurt or insecurity or bitterness that comes from that stuff, especially if it keeps happening over time and it's not overpowered by 10 times the amount of sincere encouragement and positive things being said. And I think we got to look at this worldly banter and ask, is this really beneficial? Is this really like Jesus? Ephesians 4, 29 to 31 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, this verse says that it grieves the Spirit when we are not kind to each other, when we don't forgive each other, when we slander each other. It says it grieves the Spirit. Now, these things should not be there in our relationships. We should be people who always forgive each other, who are kind to each other, who do not slander each other. And this passage calls for the opposite, to be proactive, to say things that are helpful for building others up, to benefit each other. And this is what we should be aiming for in our relationships. You know, and I remember being in a brother's household before I was married. I lived with anywhere from 2 to 5 other brothers, various points in this home that I lived in. And we had a lot of fun and we had our spiritual moments. But I will say my biggest regret of that time was the amount of like just worldly nitpicking, passive aggressiveness, poking fun at each other that happened. And there's a healthy, positive way to you know, make fun of each other here and there a little bit. But when it's excessive or it's personal or it's ganged up on, I mean, it just starts to get worldly, you know? And I remember having conversations with some of those guys where feelings were really hurt. And some of those relationships were fine, but it never fully recovered. It was just a lot of worldly banter and nagging and nitpicking. And, you know, I really regret not just deciding to be compassionate, to be more kind, to overlook things more and to not kind of have that worldly idea of friendship where you just make fun of each other all the time, but instead focus more on encouraging people. You know, and that's something I want to challenge all of you with, is to first reflect on, does any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths? And then to reflect on, how often do you say helpful, beneficial, build up other people, intentional encouragement? And I don't know about you, but for me, I'm very uncomfortable encouraging other people. It's just easier for me to make small talk or to chat or whatever, but deciding to be giving with my words and say something encouraging that's meaningful and not superficial, that's not easy. I'm uncomfortable. It takes effort. You know, and it's awkward a little bit, but it's right. It's what Jesus wants, right? And it's something that we can all learn to do, is to learn to build each other up more and to say things that are genuine, sincere, and truly helpful. This was Paul's heart and what he longed to do. In Romans 1, it says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. In 1 Thessalonians 2:10, it says, night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Imagine if all of us prayed every day that when we see each other Friday, when we see each other Bible talk, when we see each other Sunday, I'm going to go in and I'm going to supply what others are lacking in their faith this week. I'm going to be an encouragement. I'm going to build up. I'm going to have spiritual conversations. People are going to leave stronger because I was there, and I'm going to leave mutually encouraged as well. You know, this is the heart that we should have. Some practicals to help us to have daily consideration on how to encourage each other, right? Set your mind before meetings of the body, before you're going to be around other disciples. Don't just rush into it. Pause, pray, set your mind. God, help me to be like you in there today. Help me to be giving. Help me to build others up and to really make a difference. Just take 10 seconds to set your mind before you walk in. Before you get out of the car, setting your mind can make all the difference. Another way to build others up and to spur other people on is maybe to try praying once a week with different people. Make a list of every disciple in our ministry and decide, you know what? I'm going to have Friend Fridays. And every Friday morning, I'm going to pray with a different disciple in our ministry. And I'm going to work through the whole ministry. Wow, what a way to encourage somebody and to build a friendship and spur each other on and get to know each other better, to pray regularly with different people, you know, or have a quiet time together or something. Another way is to intentionally try to be encouraging and engaging in conversations, right? To watch for those little remarks that aren't encouraging, aren't helpful, and decide, I'm going to be engaging, right? I'm going to really answer questions. I'm going to ask a lot of questions back. I'm going to really lean in to this conversation to decide, I'm not going to be lazy and give short answers. You know, somebody hits you up. How are you doing? Okay. You know, like, how is that going to help build daily relationships? You know, to really be giving and engage, lean in to conversations. You know, another way is to just decide, I'm going to really be joyful, friendly, and welcoming when we're together. To have that kind of spirit and mindset of joy, of kindness. And, you know, when you're at meetings of the body, when you're there Sunday, what vibe do you bring into the room? Do you bring it down or do you bring it up, right? Do you make it a more joyful place or do other people have to come in and pick you up and get you joyful? You know, we should really get our joy from the Spirit and come in ready to worship God, build each other up, to smile, to hug, to have great conversations, to be friendly and welcoming to new people, to each other. You know, I think that another way that we can consider to build each other up is just doing special things on occasion for people that you think will mean a lot to them, right? You find out somebody likes something a lot and you see it and you get it for them, or, you know, you remember something about them, you write them a card, you text them on their birthday, just that special touch, special occasion stuff. You know, I remember being so encouraged when Sabrina gave me one of those Levain Bakery cookies. I really wanted to try one. They're awesome. She gave me one of those. I remember last year I posted on Instagram that I got one of the Ted Lasso biscuits, and Chris Davis hit me up and said, whoa, those look so good. Where'd you get it? And I saved a couple of them and brought it to him that church that Sunday. And he was super encouraged. It's just little stuff like that, personal touch, special occasion, building each other up. Obviously going on dates and encouraging, fun, double or group dates. These are great ways to build encouragement and relationships. Serving each other during hard times. If somebody's sick, stressed, or in a sorrowful time, right? Dropping off or ordering them food, getting them a car, just being thoughtful and helping people with things that they're going through in their lives. So we're not just going through life together. And lastly, consider how you could save and serve together, right? Our relationship should also be outward focused. Hey, let's go share our faith together. Let's be in a Bible study together, right? Let's go serve the poor together, or go serve other disciples together, right? Grab some relationships where you go save and serve other people together. These are some great practical ways, and I'm sure you could think of more to daily consider. And lastly, daily contact. You know, and this is just a very practical idea that relations should be part of our daily life. And again, not from a place of legalism, but from a place of care and consideration, that we're daily connected, we have daily contact with other disciples. Hebrews 3:13 said, encourage one another daily. Hebrews 10:25 said, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Acts 2:46 said, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And so we see in the Bible here this practice of daily contact, seeing other disciples every day, right? They had no phones, no email, no internet. So to be connected every day with another disciple, they had to see another disciple every day. We don't have to do that. I still would say seeing another disciple every day would be a great way to build your faith and encouragement, but at least be in contact with other disciples every day. Why is this so important? Well, Ephesians 4:16 says, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I love this picture of being joined and held together. That's what you want your life to look like, that you are joined and held together by many supporting ligaments, the whole body, that you have a lot of relationships that you're connected to God through, that you are so joined and held together that it would not be easy to pull you away or to pull you apart, right? And so in your life, how joined and held together are you? How easy would it be to pick you off from the flock, right? How long do you go without contact with other disciples in a meaningful way, right? And so I think that looking at Jesus's life and these other passages, the example is that we should have a handful of very, very close people in our daily lives. We should have at least a dozen or so close friends in the church. And then we should have a multitude of active friends beyond that. And then hundreds of other relationships, right? That might be more like acquaintances, but who knows what it'll become. But this was Jesus's example. This is what they had in the early church. What's amazing is over years as a disciple is seeing people go from a stranger to an acquaintance to, you know, kind of a friend to a close friend to being one of the closest people in your life. I've seen that happen time and time again in my life. I remember meeting Mark as a teen and, you know, hanging out with him once in a while. Now Mark is one of my daily relationships. We talk every single day, you know, and it's just awesome to you meet people and they become game changers in your life and you never know. You know, I was looking back through my phone and between calls and texts, I on average talk to 15 to 20 disciples a day, right? And there's a handful of people, Chelsea, Matt, Mark, Bobby. There's a few people I talk to every day, basically. But then there's a bunch of people I talk to about weekly. There might be about 10 or a dozen other disciples I talk to weekly. And then there's, you know, another dozen or so people I talk to at least monthly. And then there's, you know, plenty of other people. Many of you fall in this category that I talk to in between, but it's just a saturation of relationships. And I know I am joined and held together by many supporting ligaments. And it helps me so much to be close to God, strong spiritually, and not drift. This idea of daily contact, seeing, connecting with other disciples every day is one of our greatest ways to not leave the faith, to not grow weak, to not be deceived by sin, and to help people that we help become Christians stay and grow as Christians. And so just to kind of close out with some practicals on this point, obviously, how can we be joined to have held together and have daily contact? First, prioritizing meetings of the body, right? That should be a given, but midweek, Friday, Sunday, the body's together, I'm there. Unless I'm sick or there's an emergency, That's my priority, right? And the truth is that right now on Fridays, about a third of our campus ministry is not there on Friday nights. And these are important times to build our friendships and to connect with each other. And if you're not there Fridays, I really want to encourage you to have the right heart about it, to prioritize that time of eating together and enjoying the favor of all the people like our first century brothers and sisters did. It might not seem like a lot, but it adds up and you need it. You know, midweeks, you know, these are an incredible time to learn and grow together and to really prioritize this time to, if you can, have your video on, to join the chat, to respond after the lesson so that we're hearing from each other. Obviously, Sundays are a great time to connect. but on top of that, just all of the other things that there are to do, hangouts, calls, texts, dates, going sharing together, being in studies together, being engaged with the Bible talk, having meals together, visiting one another's homes, just really being interwoven in each other's lives. You know, I think one of the things that helps me is one of my screens on my phone is, you know, it's entirely contacts that I try to talk to on a regular basis. And when I'm traveling or have downtime, I go to that page and I go, man, who haven't I talked to recently? And I call that person. And if they don't answer, I try to leave an encouraging voicemail. But this just helps me keep those people on my mind. You know, another thing that can help you have daily contact is to do things together that you normally do alone. Maybe, you know, meet up to study with somebody, have a meal with somebody, do your workout with somebody else, or, you know, different things like that. That's a thing that can help you as well. And lastly, I just want to encourage you to, you know, make sure that you're connecting with both men and women in our ministry and building relationships with both. For some of you, it's more easy to connect with the opposite sex and, you know, have relationships with them. That's great. It's important. Jesus did. But make sure that you don't just stay in your comfort zone and you're building deep, close relationships with people that are the same sex as you, brothers with other brothers, sisters with other sisters. But for some of you, it might be the opposite. You just talk to the other guys all the time or the other women. And I want to encourage you, make sure you're reaching across and building friendships with the sisters or the brothers as well. These are all really important. You know, I just want to say a quick thing in closing here. For those of you that are introverted on this call, I just want to say I understand this might be an overwhelming lesson. Or maybe for those of you that are already busy or tapped out relationally. And I get that. And I just want to encourage you to just try to focus on the heart of this lesson. What's the heart behind it? Do you have that heart? You know, obviously, we got to take care of ourselves. We all need time alone. We can't be with people all the time. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. We all need that. But make sure you get the heart of this passage and that you don't use being an introvert as an excuse to not have relationships. Right? We all need relationships despite our personalities. And so pace yourself, make progress, but go after this as well. And for the extroverts on here, I'm one of them. My challenge to you would be to really reflect on, okay, you talk to people a lot, you hang out with people a lot. How deep is it? How real is it? How personal is it? Or is it just fun? Is it just shallow? And that stuff's important, but does it go deeper? Does it get spiritual, right? Do you just go to the people you're comfortable with and have fun with? Or do you go engage with the people that aren't as easy for you to talk to, that you don't connect with as easily? And that for extroverts on here, that's how we can be more like Jesus and you can grow as well. I hope you saw tonight how important daily relationships are. You know, we are all following Jesus to the same home in heaven. And like I said, not one of us will or can get there alone. We need each other. And so let's have daily care and let's daily consider how we can encourage each other. And let's have daily contact, really doing life and discipleship together. Then we will love one another the way Jesus called us to. We will build each other up and be joined together so tightly that nothing could break us, pull us away, or pull us apart. So let's go after daily relationships. Amen.